Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings upon that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God asked, What I shall give you? And Solomon said, Thou hast shown great and steadfast love to thy servant David, my father, because he walked before thee in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward thee. And thou hast kept him for him this great and steadfast love, and hast given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, whom thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this thy great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches of the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for these words. It makes us also ponder the things that we ask for. Today, Lord, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me, so that we may hear your voice in spite of my own, and so that we might even consider the things that we ask for. May they be of you and for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stop and think about this. Solomon was pretty young. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a very, very young person, I didn't always make the greatest of choices. One might say, now that I'm older, I might not always make the greatest of choices. But we do all make choices nonetheless. Solomon made a very wise choice at a very young age. He was already a very dedicated follower of God. He was already somebody who wanted to glorify God and honor God every time he had the opportunity to do that. He wanted to be able to lead others in a way that brought them closer to God. And he wanted to do the best he could so that he could rule and love God and rule the people well. And when he did this, when he had the opportunity to speak to God in a dream, God offered him, God was telling him that he was going to give him something. Did you notice that God didn't ask him? He said he was going to give him something. It wasn't a question. When we were reading scripture, God said he was going to give him something. How often do we think about that? God is going to give you something. You know, if we had the expectation in our own lives that God was going to bless us with something, do you think we would act a little bit differently? Well, I would imagine maybe we would. I know during Christmas time, if you watch children, they have this expectation that they're going to receive something at Christmas, and they don't want that something to end up being a lump of coal. Right? So they want that something to be something good. Well, if you knew that you were going to receive that something good from God, wouldn't you be doing all in your power to make sure that it was going to be something good? Now, I know what that something good is going to be, right? If you're going to be a believer in Jesus Christ, that something good is going to be everlasting life. But the thing is, we all receive spiritual gifts as well. And the spiritual gift that Solomon was about to receive was wisdom, discernment, and the ability to be able to use that wisdom and to discern what was needed in different situations was going to make him a very wise ruler, a very wise person. Remember, he was the one who wrote the book of Proverbs. Oh, the wise sayings that we have on how to live. Now think about that. How often do we pray about the choices that we need to make in our lives? Do we pray about the things that we need to do in our lives very often? Maybe about the big choices. Maybe when we find out that we have a diagnosis that we weren't expecting, and then all of a sudden we need to decide what treatment we need to make. Maybe as a young person, we pray about what school we're going to be accepted into. Maybe we pray about the one we are going to marry. Maybe we even pray when times are tough. But what about the other things that we are called to pray about? What about the times when we just thank God for giving us another day? Or thank God for an opportunity to be able to serve? I was so pleased the other morning when one of the kids said, "I want to pray to just thank God for the time that we had this summer with all of you." And so we let him pray. He's 6 years old. How often do we have the heart of a child and knowing that we just need to say thank you to God and have that kind of wisdom? Probably not often enough. There are times in life, though, where we find ourselves weighed down, bogged down, and we think that things are going along rather well. Back in 2014, at about this time in my life, I was packing up and getting ready to go off to seminary for the very first time. And I remember showing up at the parking lot to meet my friend. And I showed up, and I had a whole car full of stuff to move into his car. And he looked at me like I had lost my mind. For he had a suitcase, and that was it for himself. And I had my suitcase and another suitcase, and I had my computer and my printer and a few other things. And he says, "What are you doing? Moving in for the rest of the year? We're going for 2 weeks." And I said, "Well, what if I need something?" He said, "You won't need anything. They have it all there. You just need you and your clothes and your Bible and your books. That's it." Well, I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure. Well, all kinds of things were moving along rather well that year. But I thought, I knew what I was going to expect. I knew God had placed that call on my heart. And at that point, my farm was already in the process of being sold. John and I were already setting a date to get married. I knew everything was moving along okay. I already had a master's degree. I knew how to do this. Well, I'd never written an exegesis before. Oh boy. And I'd never written one for Old Testament before. Oh boy. I had no idea what a Master of Divinity was going to be like. A regular master's degree only takes 36 credits, by the way. A Master of Divinity takes anywhere between 84 credits and 104 credits to complete. Oh, surprise. And for Old Testament 1, my first paper was 20 pages. Paper number 1. Surprise. I remember them saying, after your first 2 hours, you're going to walk out of the lecture feeling like your eyes were buggy. They were. By the time January rolled around, John and I had gotten married. By the time April came, my father passed away, and I was back into the farming business. I took care of the cows. My brothers took care of horses. My stepmother took care of the horses. By the time August was coming back around again. I didn't know which way was up. I'd gone through a surprise surgery in May and had my gallbladder removed. Had four churches I was caring for because I had a four-point charge. And I remember sitting there crying, bawling my eyes out. Kids, Marissa had started college again. This is her sophomore year. Daniel had gone off to school. John had gone to work. And I was loading the car to get ready to go back to Dayton, Ohio. And I was sobbing. And I remember asking God, "Are you sure this is really what you want me to be doing? That I shouldn't be back in a classroom?" And I turned on the car, getting ready to go. And there was a song by the Newsboys that said, "I believe. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Spirit, the three in one." And I remember my favorite verse coming to mind at that point. And if you know me, you know my favorite book in the Bible is actually James, which also speaks a lot about wisdom. And I just finished preaching on this. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." And from that moment, it all changed. And I made it through. And I got in my car, and I drove the 6 hours to Dayton. And here I am today. Sometimes you just have to ask. Be wise enough to ask and believe that God is going to give you the answer. Sometimes you just have to know that the answer is going to come. Might not be the answer you're looking for, but you got to know it's coming. And know that when the answer comes, you'll be able to glorify God in the end. Now, that year was not an easy year. And I'm not going to lie, there's a lot of times that haven't been easy in between. But in the end, I give glory to God, because God is always good. And God has walked every step of the way. And now I'm here, and I serve with you. With you. And look at all the good things that God has done in the past year. Look at all the beautiful things that we see. I see the face of God in each of you. Paul continues on and says in Ephesians 5 says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand that the will of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with the wine, but for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to the one another, singing and making melody to the King in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What have you given thanks to God for today? What have you got to be grateful for today? Did you know that even in the moments of the very hardest times, that when you start counting your blessings, when you start finding the things to give thanks to God for, it releases a chemical change in your brain. It's called serotonin. And it actually makes you feel better. So what have you given thanks to God for today? Count your blessings. Use some of the wisdom that God's given you. I remember somebody saying once to a friend of mine, it was his father actually, saying to his son, use your head for something more than holding the hair on your head because you're not doing too good at that. He was bald. Well, what have we given thanks to God for? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today, for you are good. And even in the hardest of times, you've walked with us. And you are beside us. You've given us strength. You've given us peace. And above all else, you've given us love. You've loved us so much that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ. And for that, I am grateful. For the wages of sin and death is not eternal damnation. For those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we are saved. We are not condemned. You've given us mercy. Lord, today may we offer love and mercy to other people, for we all need it, even on the worst of our days, even on the best of our days. May it be as simple as holding a door for somebody or just shaking somebody's hand or giving them a smile. Leaving a quarter in the cart at Aldi's. Going through drive-thru and paying for the person behind us. Lord, you're good. All the time. And all the time you're good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.